1 Kings 19, 1 through 8, and I'll meet you there in a minute. And then, if you could put your finger there and go back to my introduction passage of this series, The Overcoming Life. We introduced it, then we preached on how to overcome fear. Tonight, I must tell you, I'm going to be dealing with a subject that affects a lot of you in this room, but you have been in denial, or you are frightened to let it out because there's such a stigmatism around it. Am I preaching? It's the truth. And I won't go over the 1 Kings. That's where the main text is. But I want to give you the foundational text. I'm going to make a statement that faith can help you overcome anything. Whosoever, 1 John 5, believeth that Jesus is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Listen, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. I want to say this to you tonight. Every person in this room that is born again and blood washed and have trusted Christ had the capability to overcome anything that comes in your life. Help me. Tonight, I want you to look at 1 Kings. I'm going to read this, and in a moment, I want to do some introductory remarks, then I'll read it, okay? I'm preaching tonight on how to overcome depression. How to overcome depression. You said, why is it so important? The National Institute of Mental Health said this, that right now we are spending between $40 and $50 billion a year on depression. It is estimated that 2.8 million work days are lost every year because of depression. Y'all with me? By 2020, depression will be the number one cause of disease burden. It is number two right now behind heart disease, but in 4 years or 3 years, it's going to be the number one cause of disease burden. Y'all with me? You hear me out? Depression is the leading cause of alcoholism, drug abuse, and other addictions. Untreated depression is the number one cause of suicide. And I want you young people to really tune up, because I want you to know, in your ranks, it's the number one cause of death. You say, how in the world would a 15-year-old want to kill himself? Because of depression. And you know what's happened? Our Baptist churches have so stigmatized this. And not only that, I might as well just hit it, our Baptist colleges and Bible colleges have so stigmatized this. That there's folks that absolutely are so confused on what to do because there's so many opinions. There's one prominent Bible college that I respect that will tell you you can never use medicine, and it would be wrong to use medicine. And you know I'm telling the truth. And you can overcome it all without any medicine. Now hold a minute. That sounds good, okay? That sounds real good. And I'll deal with that a little later in the service. I won't cover all that right now. But there's a lot of confusion. Listen to me, you look at me. I got two Baptist preacher friends of mine in the grave today and in heaven today because they killed themselves. You know why one of them killed himself? He was one of the greatest evangelists. If I said his name, you'd know it. Greatest evangelist in America in the last 40 years. When he committed suicide, I'll tell you how popular he was. There was 1,500 preachers came to his funeral. But here's what happened to him, Chad. He went to one Baptist church, and they prayed for him. Then he'd go to another Baptist church, and the pastor would look at him and say, and by the way, I'm preaching that faith will overcome everything. If you had enough faith, you wouldn't have to take no medicine. And he went off his medicine and went in the bathroom with his 8-year-old girl standing outside the door and blew his head off. And he's one of the greatest men that ever preached the Bible. Are y'all with me here? And oh, some of you may say, he wasn't much of a Christian. He's probably better than most of y'all. What? I'm preaching. You know what Winston Churchill said? He said, depression followed me around like a black dog my whole life. That's one of the greatest men I respected, Winston Churchill. Many years ago in the Midwest, there was a lawyer, popular lawyer, who his friends, Brother Jarrett, wouldn't allow knives or razors to be around him because he was suicidal. And they thought he may commit suicide. He made this statement during that time, I am now the most miserable man living. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. I awfully forebode I shall not. Those words were written down by the 16th president of the United States of America, Abraham Lincoln. Three things, and I'll let you go home. And we'll get into the Bible study. I just want to introduce it. Number one, the problem of depression that is common. Now let's look at 1 Kings 19. Are you there? And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now he just slain, not 450, actually 900 prophets, if you study correctly. And when he saw that, killed 900 prophets and let one woman run him out of town, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, and I'll talk about that in a moment, which belonged to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went, he left him there, then he went a day's more journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." That is extraordinary Elijah, the guy that prayed the fire down. Somebody help me. The guy that stopped the rain and got it started back. The guy that one of these days is going to be one of the two witnesses in Revelation. He was one of the fellows that met Jesus up on the Mount of Transfiguration. So I say to a pretty important man, somebody help me. But he asked to die. Somebody help me here. Depression is common among society. Listen to this. Depression affects approximately 35 million Americans each year. More than 1 in 5 Americans can expect to have depression in their lifetime. 1 in 7 Americans will have to require some physician or consultation to help them. It's real, folk. See, depression is common in society. Depression is common in Christianity. Elijah got depressed. He's not the only one got depressed. And you may jot these notes down, because you may not be able to follow me fast enough, because I got a lot of preaching. You may not be able to, but he ain't the only one got depressed. See, extraordinary Elijah got depressed, but mighty Moses got depressed. Now, I'm going somewhere. This will help you if you'll stay with me. You said, what mighty Moses do? Numbers chapter 11, verse 15, the Bible said, Moses said, "And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray." Now, Elijah said, "Let me die." Moses said, "Just kill me." How many of y'all, come on, look at me. How many of y'all believe them two boys was depressed? Well, don't tell me they wasn't depressed, son. You ain't going to want to die if you ain't depressed. There may be somebody in this room right now you've been thinking about killing yourself. And you say, why would you say something like that? Because about 11 years ago, I was preaching a similar message. And a young man stopped me after church and said, could I go to the hospitals with you tomorrow and visit? And I said, yes. He got in the car with me. We went down toward Huntington, went to the hospital. And then he started crying. He said, you saved my life last night. And I just looked at him. He said, I brought my pistol to church. And I decided after you got done preaching, I was going to walk out in my car and kill myself. About 18, 19, 20 years old. I didn't save his life. God sent the message. Somebody help me. But not only extraordinary Elijah and mighty Moses, how about Jonah? Just Jonah. And Jonah 4:3. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. It is better for me to die and not live. Brother McGrew, I see you back there. You know in your class school, as students, they're despondent and down, and they feel hopeless, and they feel helpless. And you know what's happening? We Baptist preachers are sticking our head in the ground and deciding that we're not going to touch the subject because we might upset somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, it'd be better for me to upset you and you get help. And you get do something fatal later on. By the way, I won't go into this because I got too much preaching. The greatest preacher that preached since Apostle Paul lived in depression. His name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, pastors the largest church in the world. Jared, you probably know this, but Charles would go to France for up to 3 months sabbaticals to fight what was going on in his life. I'm talking about the Prince of Preachers. I'm talking about the guy that is the most eloquent preacher that I've ever read it. And I want you to know, I can't preach him because he's too elegant for me. Number two, y'all with me yet? I'm going to help you a lot in a minute. Number two, the presence of depression that is controlling. Let me ask you something. Do you want anything to control you? Affect your personality? Affect your happiness? Come on now. There's probably people in this room right now. You don't live a happy day. Because that black dog. And by the way, I'm not condescending to you. Because see, I'm not so proud that I can't tell you this happened to me. You say, well, your preacher friends will tell you goodbye. Well, they can say goodbye if they want to. And I'll explain that in a moment. I don't want to blow all your minds. You that's got me up on some pedestal. I'm a man just like you are. So it never happened to me. Okay. We'll talk about that later. There's four kinds. Listen to this. There's four kinds. Four kinds of depression. Now listen carefully. Listen, there's one called endogenesis, and I probably butchered it a little bit, but I pronounce it like Brother Jared did. And it's caused by a chemical balance within the central nervous system, often associated with some external cause. Trust me, there's people that are living that have chemical imbalances and cannot do a thing about it. Stay with me. Now listen to this one. This is the one that had me once. It's called reactive reaction. Here's what it means. When some situation happened and you reacted and got depressed. Y'all with me? Such as divorce. Are you listening? Such as losing a sweetheart, losing a job. I've had some stuff hit me over the years. And I'll explain a little bit more when I get into Mighty Moses. Some of you can think what you want about me, but I give myself totally to everybody. Everybody. I love my people. And when they're hurting, I hurt. But you want to know what really has caused me to get reactive a little bit over the years? It was when some of the people I've helped the most. Give them money. Be merciful unto their children when they did things wrong. I'll be honest with you. You can mock me if you want to. But that ain't easy. But I want you all to know something. It ain't controlling me no more. You said, well, I ain't controlling you anymore. Because see, I know the answer. I'm preaching about the answer tonight. Come on, help me. Then there's what they call toxic. It's caused by an outside substance such as a viral illness or drugs or a faulty diet. Then there's what is called the psychotic depression, which is a nervous breakdown over exhaustion, over mental disorder. And I know a little bit about that because I had a brother that had three of them. Eventually died of Alzheimer's and dementia. Now listen carefully. Kids, listen. Mom, Dad, listen. I'm going to give you what the Mayo Clinic says are the 9 symptoms of depression. A depressed mood, loss of interest or pleasure in daily activities, loss of appetite or unintentional weight change. Some people don't eat when they're depressed, and some people eat when they're depressed. Well, I fall into the last one. But see, I got a real problem. When I'm happy, I eat too. And listen, problems of too little or too much sleep, feelings of restlessness or sluggishness, fatigue or loss of energy, feelings of guilt or unworthiness, and inability to clearly think or concentrate, I'm sorry. Listen to me. I'm preaching right now. This might not be a flame-throwing sermon, but this is the truth tonight. Now, I'm going to give you 3 things here. Listen carefully. I'm really going to get down to the end in a moment. I'm serious. Number 1, let me tell you why Elijah was physically, what caused him to be depressed. He got physically worn out. Well, you said, how do you know that? Well, Jarrett and I had a little talk, and I was right as far as the crow flies. If you run from Mount Carmel and go to Beersheba, you have went 113 miles. And then the Bible said he went one more day. So guess what happened to him? He got worn out physically. And then it affected him emotionally. You know, can I hit a couple more Baptist preachers? Would y'all care? I've got some Baptist friends that think that's a mark of honor because they don't take a vacation. And by the way, there's 3 of them I know right now. They're out of the ministry because they never took a vacation and never got any relaxing. Somebody help me. Am I helping anybody? See, Elijah asked God to kill him. He wanted him to take his life, but he ain't the only one. How about mighty Moses? In the 11th chapter, he said, what problem did old Moses have? He didn't have physical problems. He was emotionally worn out. You have 2 million Baptists. You had to pastor, see how you'd be. I got 1,000 or 1,300 members here. And some people ask me, why are you cuckoo birds every once in a while? You try to pastor my wild and see how you are. You're kind of nutty and you're not even pastoring. You know what they were doing? They complained about the food. They complained about the water. They complained about everything. And the Bible said, verse 2, chapter 11, Numbers, and the people cried unto Moses. Then verses 4 through 6, Moses then said, hey, I just kill me. He was emotionally wore out. How many of you came into church today and you're an emotional mess and you're wore out emotionally? Oh, but hold it. How about just Jonah? He didn't have his cause wasn't physical. His cause wasn't emotional. Actually, his cause was spiritual. Because, see, God told him to go to preach to the Ninevites, and he didn't want to do it. And then when he did do it and got a revival, in the next chapter after the revival, he said, kill me. He was spiritually wore out. Come on, help me now. There's some of you. Maybe spiritually worn out. You know how you get spiritually worn out? Is when you quit submitting to the Holy Spirit, when you quit reading your Bible, when you quit praying, then you're going to wear out spiritually and you're going to burn out. I'm almost done. Don't worry. Do me a favor. Let's look at some of the Mayo Clinic symptoms. Fatigue or loss of energy. Put a check mark beside Elijah. Problems with too little or too much sleep. Put a check mark beside of Moses. Y'all with me? An inability to clearly concentrate. Put a check mark beside Jonah. I've had people ask me why at 64 years old did I get a doctorate in counseling. I'll tell you why. Because I know there's people hurting emotionally and that I wanted to help them. It's the hardest thing I ever done in my life. I was 64 years old when I finally got my doctorate in counseling. The second doctorate I had that was earned. Listen to me. You know why I done it, Courtney? Because, see, I've passed through the Valley of Baca. And I know what it means to be down. And I know what it means to have people hate on you. And I know what it means to be worn out. And I know what it means to fall down. But I'm glad I also know what it means to get up again. Y'all still with me yet? Lastly, I'm done. Thirdly, the power of depression that is controllable. Now, this is the important part of the sermon, so don't turn me off for 5 minutes to go. This is important. So, Elijah was depressed because he was physically worn out. Can I ask you a question? Did God know that? Read the next verses. God sent an angel. He's down under a juniper tree. Can't get much lower than that. They got limbs way down to the ground. God sent an angel. You know what that angel did? You know what he did? That angel went down and poked him, touched him. You know what some of y'all need tonight? You need to drop your stinking, rotten pride about your problems. Get on the altar and get a touch from God. Somebody help me. But not only that, you know what God done? What that angel done? Elijah, what do you like for breakfast? I want 3 eggs over easy. I want some bacon. I want some hash browns crispy. And I want some of Marguerite Smith cat head biscuits. Warm on top with some real cow butter. Because I don't eat margarine. It's against the Lord. Amen. The angel cooked him dinner. You know what he done? He got away. He got some relaxation. You know why? I go every once in a while. You know, last year because we were sick, I didn't take 3 of my vacations. But you know what I'm doing right now? I'm catching up last year. I asked him, I said, can I have my vacation from last year before I start this year? You know, I was pitiful looking. And they said, oh, yeah. I don't miss Sunday morning, but I left on Sunday night. And I got good preachers to preach. And I came. I was going 4 days. That's all. And now, you know, I feel like I charged hell with a squirt gun, hanging with a noodle. I'm good because I'm smart enough now to get away and take care of my physical tiredness. Hold on, I'm not done yet. You say, I don't even need my notes now. I'm on the button now. What about Moses? What helped Moses? He had emotional problems. Why did he have emotional problems? He had 2 million people that he had to deal with. Okay? 2 million. 2 million problems had to deal with. And all they done was complain. So what you do with a man that's all emotionally burned out? Here's what God done. He said, Moses, I got an idea. Get 70 men of Israel, wise guys, that you can trust, and let them, you delegate some of that pressure. Is that good? You know what some of you knuckleheads have a problem with? You think you fix everything and you do everything and you don't need anybody to help you. And I know some Baptist preachers think their membership's a bunch of idiots. Not me, friend. I got some intelligent people here that love God that can help in the church, and I want you in. Amen. And I've got three staff preachers that's pretty good 80% of the time and taking the load off of me. I do want to tell y'all something. Roger Backus, he know what I'm talking about. The old John Smith's going to come out for 3 months, okay? So if you see me growling, because the old John's going to come out 3 months, because I think these boys need a little help. Give me a thumbs up, Roger. Roger's the one that said it ought to happen, so I'm just doing it. You listen to me. When you think you're indispensable, and nobody else can do your job, and nobody else, you can't depend on nobody else, then you're a mess. We got laymen here that visit shut-ins every week and visit hospitals. You said, I'm about ready to retire. I'd like to do that. Why don't you? Am I preaching? Do you have any idea how fulfilling it is to help somebody with their load? I'm almost done, Chad. Lord, lately I've been preaching a long time, haven't I? Y'all all right? I just got so much material anymore, I can't help it. Whew. I'm almost done. I'm going through my notes. I left my notes. I didn't need them there. Lastly, Jonah was spiritually revived. See, Jonah had a spiritual problem. He needed a spiritual adjustment. Jonah 4:11 says this, and should not I spared Nineveh, that great city, wherein more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between that was their right hand and their left hand, and they're almost like cattle. Jonah, your problem is you're a racist. Your problem is you're a bigot. Your problem is you think those Ninevites deserve to go to hell. I want all y'all to buckle up. Everyone in this room deserved to go to hell. But I thank God there was a mighty Savior that came my way. Saved my soul. And all he done with Jonah, he said, listen, boy, I'm God. And when I give an order, you follow the order, or you're going to get depressed. And some of you, you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you don't ask the Holy Ghost to fill you, and you wonder why you're running around depressed. Now I'm going to give you one last thing. I'm done. I'm sure not inviting people to. The hardest thing in the world is to counsel, but I do a lot of it. I've got three simple things I'd give people that are depressed that can help them. And they're so simple, you think I'm silly for telling you. I ain't telling you. You got to come see me, get that. It costs you $500 an hour. I'm kidding. Hear me out. There was somebody said this. Every problem eventually ends up a spiritual problem. You got a problem with drugs? You got a problem with alcohol. You got a problem with pornography. You got so low, you've turned for those things to stimulate you. Your real problem is you're depressed. And your real problem is you need a touch from God. And your real need is you need God to take care of you. That's what you need. And I know. I know it's so stigmatized. Some of you, you wouldn't come around this altar and pray about it. You know why? You've heard that that shows weakness, and you wouldn't want somebody to think that you had ever had any bouts with it. Well, you've had your Baptist preacher told you 6 or 7 years ago, I had a bad bout with it. But I want you to know something, Brother Mike. I never quit. Amen. Oh, there's times you didn't even know it. I got up behind that pulpit and preached my heart out just like I'm doing now, and then went out to my car and wept my way home. There was times that I stayed up all night and couldn't sleep, and my pillow was wet. But I want you to know something. I got a touch from God. I got some help. By the way, I know how to deal with people that's going through that. Because the Lord let me. Somebody asked me, why do you think you had that one time like that? I know why. So I could be burdened about those that are doing it. And God had to allow me to go through it. So I, listen to me, folks. I know I'm old. And I'm 66, and you might not think I'll be around here long. But don't worry, you might be wrong. But I want you to know something. I've never felt so much freedom in all my life. I've never had so much joy in all my life. And I want you to know, you ask Marguerite, I don't have no problem sleeping. I do have a problem waking up. And I don't have no problem eating. And I have more fun asleep than most people have awake. And some of you sit back in the congregation and you're bad on. And you're so afraid to go up at the altar and put your trust in God because you're just afraid what some member will think about you. I want to tell you, if they think ugly about you, they probably ain't saved or ain't right. But let me give you this, I'm done. If you're here in this room and not say, you ain't got no ability at all, to overcome what's trying to overcome you. How many got a little bit of help today? Bow your head with me. Stand. If you're lost, come on up here. I wonder how many Christians just would say, preacher, I've been battling. I've been up and down, in and out. And I'm tired of worrying about what people think. I'm going to come around and talk to God and get a touch tonight. Our Father, I pray right now you touch in this service. I pray, Lord, that somebody that's near taking an overdose, somebody that's near to take a gun, will be stopped because of this message. And they'll come running for help. Lord, I pray there'll be people tonight that are spiritually down and emotionally down and physically down. Come and get some help. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come? I'll pray you just come.